SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Here's XM Channel 159. Sports Grid Radio Networks. 82-77 final score. The Lobos backdoored this thing. It was 5.5. I had Boise State money line in a parlay, and I bet the in-game over 148 and sales over. 82-77 final score. Boise beats Sheriff Lobo and the New Mexico Bulls. We'll bring Bano back in a moment here. I just wanted to get to this last thing about the Live Tour. My old deal with the Live Tour, too, you've never heard me go on some sanctimonious rant and stuff like that about, I have no moral, ethical, I'm adult and aware of world issues enough to know that, whatever. You want to start talking about, like, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And I don't want to end up like, you know, I'm not like a sympathizer for the Live Tour, but it is comical that people attack the Live Tour. It's like, oh, there's blood on their hands, but say nothing about like them owning all the teams in the EPL and every soccer league, you know, owning half of F1 and basically everything else in between, right? Somehow the golf is like the most, somehow they got singled out. Doesn't mean that they're not, you know what I mean? Doesn't mean that the golfers or whatever, like it is what it is. My old deal with it is just a waste of time, right? What are they playing for? Who cares? I don't care about a bunch of dudes putting, you know what I mean? I don't care about these guys. I care about the legacy. Hey, he won the British Open. The British Open, I care about. The Masters, I care about, right? I don't care, like, about a bunch of dudes playing for a bunch of money for, like, no prestige. I don't care. I could go to a local country club and watch a bunch of dudes, right? Like, I don't care, right? And, like, so Dustin Johnson says, you know, remember before they said they were doing it to grow the game and stuff? And then, no, they're not, right? Dustin Johnson at least admitted it the other day when he said, if anybody offered you a lot more money to work less, wouldn't you do it? And he answered his, you know what I mean? It was right there. It's work to him. Imagine you're married to the, you know, the Gretzky chick. You know, you already made like $200 million in your life or whatever. You're living in, you know, your mansions in Beverly Hills and South Carolina and all this. But it's not enough. No, not enough, right? I'll go play on a meaningless tour after just to make a little bit more. It's basically like Mr. Burns. There's an episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns says, yeah, I have all the wealth and money and fortune in the world. He goes, but you know what? I'd trade it all for a little bit more. And that's sort of what these guys are. So, like I said, I don't care about Saudi Arabia. And I have no ethical whatever. I don't give a crap. It's like people that bitch about, like, Nikes while they're walking around wearing Adidas, or bitching about Adidas when they're walking around wearing Pumas, whatever. I hate to tell you, Mother Teresa didn't make either of the shoes, all right, kid? So, right, vegetarians that complain, but they're wearing a leather jacket. You know, and, you know, people that tell you about the environment that fly around in private planes, etc. I could go on and on. Like, I don't, you know, I've given up on hypocrisy of the world. So there's nothing moral about it. I just think the Live Tour is a waste of stupid time. But where I wanted to get to with this is the PGA Tour is suing them, and a judge in the district of Northern District of California says that they're allowed to sue the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, which is big. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. All right, we talk golf in the first hour of the program. The Honda Classic, the unofficial fifth major. Just kidding. It's a bad field, but there's opportunities to make money. But we're switching gears. All right, we're going to talk XFL football. We got Ian Cameron going to rejoin us on the other side here. But Bano will kick with us. We'll get into week two of the XFL. We'll take a look at the overnight NHL card. The NBA is back as well. College basketball, North Carolina gets it done this evening. But Notre Dame covered the number you know, North Carolina were in one of these situations where if they won the basketball game tonight, nobody cared, right? It was like, yeah, whatever. Who cares? You beat Notre Dame. And if they lost, it's like, all right, you're done. You're not making the tournament now. And it's pretty much up next now. And Virginia, coming off a loss now to Boston College, won't be in the best mood when they play against the North Carolina Tar Heels. So John Gassaway from ESPN.com will join us. We'll talk golf basketball with John. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, will rejoin us. So we'll get into the XFL, NHL, NBA, and more. As, of course, the NBA is back. We've been talking a lot of futures as of late. We've been getting into the NCAA futures. World Baseball Classic is also right around the corner right now. We're going to get into that. We'll get you caught up to date with the latest news as far as the tournament is concerned. And as far as the National Football League is concerned, there's going to be a lot of cuts and a lot of stuff is going to start to go down over the next couple of days. And I wanted to get into the Lamar Jackson situation with the Baltimore Ravens, as I don't understand how it is and why it is that every other stiff quarterback in the National Football League gets paid. Now, listen, it is what it is, right? Is the system correct? No, it isn't. Because basically, if you're able to chew gum and walk and tie your shoelaces and you're a quarterback and your contract is up, you're going to get paid whatever everybody else got paid. It's just the way that it works. But Daniel Jones is going to get $45 million. You can't give Lamar 50? Are you kidding me? This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Bands, we're class level 2. This is Sports Rage. We'll get back to potential landing spots for Patrick Kane, a red-hot Patrick Kane. The Blackhawks keep busting people's parlays up. But let's get into the XFL. Week 2 is here. We have Thursday Night Football, 9 o'clock Eastern. Seattle Sea Dragons and the St. Louis Battlehawks. Ian Cameron with Soba Bano. We'll throw it to you first. St. Louis Battlehawks, Seattle Sea Dragons. The Sea Dragons are currently 3.5-point favorites right now. There's been a late push on Seattle. The total is 36.5 right now at FanDuel. What are your thoughts on the first game up, Thursday Night Football, XFL Week 2?
Yeah, I'm just first on the league because we didn't talk on Sunday. Just quickly, I like the presentation. I like the product. I like the pace of play. I like the fact that the replays right away when they had to review something, you got the decision quickly, efficiently. There were a lot to like, I mean, with the presentation. They did enough unique elements and the difference in some of the rules. And, of course,
the reviews were very good. Single point, two point, three point. Yeah, very, very good, concise, quick.
Yeah,
you know what I like about
the
reviews?
They were.
The reviews are good, but what they do, it's Dean Blandino, right? So what's good about the reviews...
You actually see them looking at it, making the decision, communicating it. Yep.
Yeah, well, you hear them making the decision, so you don't have to wait, right? That's the whole thing in the National Football League, and there's like this veil of secrecy in which, what are they really saying to each other here? Of which, you know, this is it, and... You saw, I will say one thing, and I was lucky, I was happy because most of the calls went my way, actually. But I did notice Blandino went along a lot with the ref. Like, he was sort of like, yeah, good call, yeah, boom, boom, let's move on. But it was fast, it was done well. And when you actually hear, it brings an air of trust, at least. Because there's not, like, some secret thing going on under a hood and a secret, and then, oh, yeah. And point blank, I asked we had the guy on. It was the former, he was the head teacher at the NFL Reffing Academy. And I asked him, I said, what happens if you go under the hood and there's a review? Because the thing is, Babano, but for people tuning in and don't know, just, when you see the referee go under the hood, he's not making the decision in the NFL. He's looking at it. He's telling them what he saw and stuff. They're in New York. His bosses are telling him, no, this is the call. So I asked, what happens if you're a ref, Babano? And you're like, no, he's not out of bounds. He's in bounds. And they tell you he's out of bounds. And you're like, listen, I freaking was standing right here, okay? And I'm telling you what I saw. And they tell you no. I said, what happens? I said, can you override them? And if you're the ref, if you go on and just say, listen, it's a touchdown. Even though they're telling me it's not a touchdown, I think it's a touchdown. And he said, yeah, you could do that, but not if you want to keep your job. So he was very honest about it. He said, yeah, you could do that, but you won't get a lot of assignments. He started laughing after that. Like, in other words, no, you can't do that. So, and you never know, Babano, in the NFL, right? It's like, I don't know, like, so they get it wrong sometimes. It's like,
I don't know what they're saying. Yeah.
It's like, explain to us why that's not a catch. Besides, no, it's not a catch, and that's it. At least in the XFL, you hear Blandino and you hear him say, foot down, no, he's got the ball still.
They talk about why it's a catch or why it isn't, or why it breaks the goal line or why it doesn't. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and it's much more, you know, it brings an aura of trust. The NFL will never do that, I promise you. They will never do that. They're not going to do it. And the XFL did this before, so it's not new. They've always done this. They've always had the USFL does it as well. It's just the NFL is just, you know what I mean? They're too big. They're not going to share. They're not opening. They're not taking you behind the curtain, but okay. I agree with you though, Babano. I thought, and I know you watch all these leagues, but this was the best week one, as far as quality of play is concerned, out of the XFL 2.0. USFL 2.0 and Alliance 1, right? Because the other leagues existed before.
Right.
So I'm talking about the last three leagues, the last time the XFL played, the last time, last year's USFL, the Alliance League from 3 years ago. This was the best week one that we've seen. I thought the quality was good. If you'll notice, there's some, you know what I mean, Babano? There's a lot of good coaches in the league, right? Like Bob Stoops knows how to coach a football team. He knows how to run a practice. He knows how to run a camp. Wade Phillips, you know what I mean? He's not, he's no dummy. Jim Haslett, Jude Jones in Seattle, no dummies. But the Roughnecks.
Yeah, that team looked, Houston really looked sharp. They looked dialed in on both sides of the ball.
Let's not overreact, though, because Orlando are a little shaky. Yeah. So, dude, now Houston are 4.5-point favorites. Over the Arlington team that everybody said was the best team in the league coming in, right? Yeah. Like, so that's a tricky one there, but all right. What about the first game up here, the Battle Hawks and the Sea Dragons?
Okay, so this one I agree with the move on Seattle. That was about as a fraudulent win for the St. Louis Battle Hawks. They were horrible for 3.5 quarters against San Antonio last week and stolen at the end. And look, you're going to see games like this in the XFL with being able to score a touchdown, being able to go for that 4th and 15, instead of an onside kick, they went for the 4th and 15 conversion attempt. After they got it to a 1-score game, they converted it. They got the ball back again, and then they scored a touchdown on the game-winning drive. And they somehow 15 straight points, and they erase an 15-3 deficit and win 18-15. It was a stunning comeback for St. Louis for a team that looked horrible for 3.5 quarters. I think Seattle looked better. I think Seattle probably should have won against D.C. last week. They outgained D.C. heavily. It was Ben DiNucci's mistakes that did them in.
They fumbled on the goal line. They were about to win, exactly. Yep. They were about to win. I don't know what it is with Seattle teams fumbling or turning the ball over on the 1-yard line on game-winning drives. But it was the same damn thing.
One time in a big
game. But it was crazy. Yeah. Like, they were losing 22-18 the entire fourth quarter type thing. And they kept getting the ball back, but in a bad field position. They finally got the ball back.
They turned it over 4 times, and they still almost won.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's going to happen in your first game. It is what it is. The last one really wasn't DiNucci's fault, if you watch it. Like, the pocket got blown up. They pushed everybody into him. It is what it is. But I do agree.
He had a rough second half, but he had a great first half.
Yeah, but the thing is, he threw the ball 54 times.
Yeah.
if you throw the ball 54 times, did it, like, you're going to turn it over, like, two or three or four times. Yeah. Like, it's pretty.
I would think Jones wants a little more balance in that offense.
I don't know.
It is a run and
it's
shoot.
It's not coming.
But it is a run and shoot. Yeah.
It's not coming.
He does want to throw more than run.
That's been
for decades.
They're throwing the ball. Like, they didn't sign Josh Gordon not to throw the ball. Like, they're going to, like I said, guys, they threw the freaking ball 54 times. And we should note, the D.C. defenders ran the ball a lot.
That Pearson kid on Seattle is a great receiver, too. He was excellent. They have some talent. They have some receiver talent, Seattle.
All the teams have big-time talent.
They really had some great receivers. And the bottom line in this game is, I think Seattle, after a tough loss, going back home, I don't know if it's going to be the Seahawks type of home crowd advantage, because it may not be. But, you know, I think they'll get a little – like, D.C. actually had a pretty good home crowd for their game. I think Seattle will hear Lewis is traveling the Pacific Northwest. That was just a win that
– they didn't
San
draw
Antonio
that great.
Coughed it up.
You know what it was with Washington? They're just loud. Well, give them credit. Yeah. They're loud. There was only 13,000 people, but they were loud as hell.
Yeah. Sounded like 43,000 at times. Yeah, they were. They were really
they
loud.
They drink a lot there. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A little bit of a run here, but we got in on Japan. We took Japan -4.5, and we also played the money line. So I played two plays. I was like, you know what? They'll probably cover, but let's just play it safe as well. I'll split it in two. And I put a nice play on it, actually. Some FIBA World Cup qualification. International basketball. The World Cup is coming up of basketball. So Japan and Iran. Right now, Japan is currently leading 27-19. Iran is on the free throw line. Total's 149.5. We've got ourselves quite a track meet, actually, going on here. We'll get back to the XFL here. We'll keep our eye on this. My apologies. Like I said, the spread was 4.5 when the game started. And I laid, it was -210 on the money line I played, and I laid 4.5. 4.5 -210. It's currently 8.5 -500 right now. I did not play the total. But there have been quite a few points, like, by international standards so far. All right, so we're talking XFL football right now with Ian Cameron. I am Gabe Morenci. So, Babano, you like the Seattle Sea Dragons tomorrow. I've already played the Sea Dragons. I knew the number was going to move. I got in on them at -125 on the money line earlier in the week. And here we are now up to 160. It's 3.5 right now. But if I'm, you know, I'm going to tell people if you're playing this, just play them on the money line. You know, I told them to play it on the money line earlier in the week. It is.
Well, I bet the money line. I didn't get the price you did. I got -135, so even I didn't get the price you did on them. But -160. See, I'd still prefer the money line as well.
I literally, you know,
just especially late in the game with these 2-point, 3-point conversion attempts you could get that could backdoor you. It's not a bad option. It's worth your while. Maybe more in the XFL than the NFL to pay the juice on the money line with a short favorite.
Yeah. You never know what the hell these coaches are going to do in this league with the ones, the twos, and the threes. But I got the best numbers because I literally hit refresh like 25 million times in like 2 days. I was just waiting over and over and over. I was like, because I know, I knew they were going to move. But the thing is, I got one of them wrong, like by half a point. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get in on this now. And I put $1,000 on it. And it actually moved, and then it's crazy. I got really upset. I was like, I can't believe this. I was like, I can't believe I bet a dime and I read the number wrong. And then, boom, it took a day and a half, and now it's like it went the way I thought it would, and it's going up right now. What it was Seattle and St. Louis. I bet over 36.5, and the next day it was 36, and I was livid. I was like, I can't freaking believe this. And now it's popping up at 37.5 at most spots. FanDuel does have a 36.5, though. The money line is up to 165. in this game. All right, so Saturday's game, DC Defenders at the Vegas Vipers. We have the exact same point spread, exact same money line, and exact same total right now. 3.5 and 36.5, minus 165 and plus 140. DC in Vegas, what's your pick, Babano?
Yeah, this one could be your low scoring game of the week. I mean, I don't like either offense. Luis Perez in Vegas did nothing in the second half. I mean, they had the first drive was really good right down the field against Arlington, and after that, there wasn't a whole lot that they did great on offense. And their defense played really well. Let's not forget that Arlington's points were the defense creating the points. It's not like that offense moved up and down the field. So Vegas did have a pretty good defensive performance last week, even though they lost to Arlington. And DC looks like they're going to be a run-heavy offense. They were moving at a slow pace. You know, their quarterback play was definitely spotty. It goes without saying last week. So, you know, I think in this matchup, it's probably going to be a little bit lower scoring in this one. We'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting to see because as far as I saw from DC last week, Jordan Tamu, for a guy that's been in these spring leagues before, he didn't really play all that great. They put De'Aaron King in there, and he was more of a running quarterback. Now, I think they're still trying to figure out their identity on offense. You know, the totals are obviously low, but if you're going to have one game that I think will be defensive-minded, it could be this game. I lean to D.C. plus the points. I mean, these are two offenses. It would be if it was D.C. land points, I'd probably like Vegas. But, you know, I don't trust either offense. It's probably a close game, so I'd probably look at D.C. plus the points rather than Vegas as the favorite.
Ian Cameron throwing it down with us. I have an opposite opinion of this game. But I'm asking you your picks, and we want to give people different varying degrees of opinion here. I will counter with Vegas's offense was actually not bad last week. I think the Arlington Renegade defense is that good. Like, those guys are like a menace to society. They were really, really, really collapsing the pocket. Luis Perez got a little sloppy in the second half. Listen, that's the whole thing with all these quarterbacks. There's a reason why they're in the XFL, right? They're going to turn the ball over, but
they're going to look Luis good Perez. One quarter and bad the next. How many times do we see that last weekend? One good series, one bad one. One good quarter, one bad one. One good drive, one bad drive. Saw it all weekend from the quarterbacks.
Yeah, but Luis Perez, 22 of 36, 249 yards, 3 touchdown passes. They were pretty efficient. Most of these teams, like I said earlier, the quality of play is pretty good because they've got, like, they've got some quality players on, you know. So, look, they're the wide receivers on Las Vegas. Geronimo Allison, former Green Bay Packer. Martavis Bryant, former Pittsburgh Steeler. You've got guys on this team that can catch the ball. Jeff Bidette had 81 yards last week. I think I like the over of this game. You are right, bang on, as far as I wouldn't lay 3.5. I already have Vegas on the money line. But you are bang on. I think DC do want to run the ball. But I still think they'll be able to score. Like, they scored 22 points against Seattle. And now you're going into Las Vegas here. And like I said, man, look, what was the score last week? It was 22-20, right? They actually scored 20 points on Arlington, which I think is not going to be easy to do. I think this game is going to get there. I personally think the next one, Babano, this next one is strange to me that the total is 38.5. When we know San Antonio's offense is bad. And Orlando might be bad on both sides of the ball, right? So this is the total that I think. And last week I went 3-1 at the totals. So I'm proud of myself with that I had the three overs and I got the one under. Like, I was like, the St. Louis San Antonio, that's the under. I said, that's the one that's just going to be like a slugfest. And it barely stayed under, actually. But like you said, there was late points, so it kind of did. It was an under. But, dude, San Antonio, bro, like, Jack Cohn's not very good. Their offense isn't very good. Their defense is good. And call me crazy, Babano, but I wouldn't lay 3.5 with San Antonio on the road here. As long as they, you know, they pulled Paxton Lynch blows. I think this game is an under, and I'm very tempted by taking the dog here with the Orlando Guardians.
Yeah, it's tough. Orlando looked like the worst team in this league by a landslide last week. And now Houston's really good, but
yeah,
I mean, Orlando
looks can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways and say how amazing Houston is and then how bad Orlando is.
Yeah. I think it was more look, I think it was more bad Orlando, because I'll tell you what, Paxton Lynch was dreadful. Quentin Dormady came in. He wasn't really all that much better. He had the one drive, but he also threw an interception as well. They tried to throw deep, and the offensive – this is why I like the over with Orlando and Houston last week, is because the Orlando offensive coordinator, Robert Ford, kept saying, we want to throw the ball deep 8 times a game. They did do it a few times, but they were incomplete most of the time. I mean, they just couldn't connect on any of them. So they've got – it's a work in progress with them on offense, and they're deep. Defense got ripped apart. So I don't know if there's anything that's good right now about the Guardians. Whereas San Antonio should have put away St. Louis. I mean, they had St. Louis done in that game, and then St. Louis puts the drive together, gets it to one score. As we mentioned, they get the 4th and 15, they get the ball back, and they score again. San Antonio, actually, I thought they played okay. Jack Cohn, he's not great, but I thought he was all right. They ran the ball. They got Ballage and Patrick. They're pretty good running backs, I think, on this San Antonio team. I think they're going to get the job done here. I just think Orlando's that bad. I don't mind laying a field goal on the road here with the Brahmas. I think they'll get it done.
3.5.
Yeah, I got 3. But, yeah, 3.5, I'd still take them. I think Orlando's that bad. They're going to have to prove it to me that they're better than last week, because I think that was horrific. And I'm going to need to see they're better than that, and I'm not so sure.
Ian Cameron kicker with us. All right, we'll see how it plays out. We should note, San Antonio did score 15 points last week. And they also were playing in front of 25,000 people and still managed to lose. So I'm not, you know what I mean? Yeah, Orlando are very good, but Orlando played a really good Houston Roughneck team and got killed. But, you know, San Antonio, like I said, for me, that's the low-scoring one. And now this last one, Sunday Night Football, 7 o'clock Eastern this week, not 8. This is
best
the game of
the week.
Week
on paper, this one.
Yep. Yeah, this is the game of the week in the XFL, early game of the week. Arlington and Houston. But they are the two favorites to win the championship right now. Arlington were favorites coming into the year. Houston replaced them with their impressive performance. Should be noted, even though Houston did have P.J. Walker last time around, in the XFL, that Houston were undefeated. So Houston were like 5-0 when they shut it down last time. And now they start again, and they absolutely just rolled again. So Houston are on an XFL run right now. Arlington.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money. Inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Came in with all the hype. Arlington, you know, great coaching staff with Bob Stoops and you know, all these, you know, veteran coaches. The defense was really good. Drew Plitt was not. We'll get into this on the other side, and I don't know why Kyle Sloter's not playing. They better make that change. Like, we'll hit this on the other side. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Marge, I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's $1 million game? Who? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
As always, Marge Simpson could not be more wrong. The XFL is back, and not only is it back, but the numbers are in for week one, and they were very, very good. All right, XFL league and team social media channels gained 4.1 million video views in 48 hours. They peaked out at 3.4 million viewers on for the Sunday game. Sunday afternoon, the San Antonio St. Louis game, which incidentally, Babana, was the worst game. That was like the least entertaining game of them all, to be honest. Well, the Houston Roughneck game was kind of a rout, but the ratings are pretty good, actually. They basically got they averaged 1.3 million, which normally these numbers dip as the season goes. There's always a curiosity. Yet I think it's a little bit different. The XFL, I think they did very well. I think they're going to do well. It's a solid. They have a solid foundation with a rock now. But it should be noted, last week, guys, they went head-to-head with the NBA skills competition, the NBA on Saturday night, the NBA All-Star game, and the Daytona freaking 500. So, they went head-to-head with three major sporting events, and still, people still watch. They still had over 3 million people watching their football game on Sunday afternoon. Very impressive, and good start. So, Ian Cameron kicking with us.
But plus, you have to factor in ESPN Plus streams all the games that are on ESPN. So the ESPN Plus streams all the games that are on ESPN and ABC as well. So there could have been some streaming people watching streaming as well. So taken away from the television streaming numbers a little bit.
Yeah, streaming numbers are counted differently than the Nielsen TV ratings. But you are right. The yep. ESPN Plus numbers are not included in this, right? But the yep. thing is, ESPN's like is subscribers. It's like you get it if you subscribe, right? So it's not like that's why it's not rated in the same way. People are paying for it. But no, they did well. They will do well. I think the USFL will do pretty well as well. There's enough players to go around, guys. That's the thing, Babana. Like when people are like, oh, I don't watch this. Oh, this guy sucks. He's not in the NFL or whatever. It's like, yeah, fine. Right? Doesn't mean De'Aaron King, because De'Aaron King's not in the NFL. Doesn't mean the guy should never have a right to play football again. It doesn't mean it's not entertaining to watch him run. I mean, Cody Latimore is playing. Martavis Bryant's playing. Josh Gordon playing. Right? Like, there's room for everybody. And then you figure, oh, my God, how is the XFL, the XFL and the USFL both going to get players? Man, the USFL had a draft the other day. They got a good bunch of decent players. And none of you saw Babano. Bethel Thompson left the Argonauts for the New Orleans Breakers of the USFL.
Yeah, we'll see him in 2 months when the USFL starts in April.
He'll be good. He'll be very good in the USFL. I think
the CFL will make him really good for that, because he got better in the CFL. He was terrible when he first joined the CFL, and he got better and better, and you know, obviously won a Grey Cup last year. So I think he will be, believe it or not, a bet on quarterback there.
Oh, he might be the best quarterback in the league, to be honest. I'm dead serious. But we can cap USFL in the future. I'm dead serious. He will be very good in that league. It's a step down from the CFL, like a massive step down.
Yeah.
It's like it's a weird career move for him. I don't know what his motive is. Like,
he calls it a family because he's from down south, is what I heard. That sort of seems to be what he was referring to in his decision to leave the CFL, just to be closer to home.
Yeah, but Benno, he's not giving up $600,000 a year for $84,000 a year to be closer to home, bro. You know what I'm saying? USFL doesn't pay, man. Right? Like, so that's why it's strange. You know what I mean? It's like, as I was going to say,
financially,
he wasn't going to be the starter. Well, but Ben, do you really think that anybody, like if you're a professional and you make $600,000 a year and you're going to like do the same job for $80,000? Unless they didn't offer you the $600,000, right? That's the whole thing. As I was going to say, Kelly's going to be the quarterback. Right, I mean, Kelly was the one that won them the Grey Cup and stuff. There was a big buzz. For the record, Japan's up 52-29 right now. Put it on the board. Good stuff. Okay, Babano, so what's your pick for Arlington and Houston?
You know, they always say in college football, the highest totals of the week are high for a reason, and more often than not, they go over. This total is the highest total on the board this week in the XFL for good reason, and I think it's going to go over the total at 40. I think this Houston offense looks legit. Silvers was excellent, throwing the ball. The run game was terrific. He's got a bunch of big play weapons. With Deontay Burnett was incredible in that game. He's got a couple others, too, that were just phenomenal. in the passing game. And this offensive coordinator that Wade Phillips has with this Houston Roughnecks team, A.J. Smith, he's dialing up end-arounds and jet sweeps and throwing the ball deep and doing little screen pass, like totally keeping the defense off balance. You talk about an offensive coordinator doing his job. A.J. Smith did that last week for Houston. I thought the scheming and the play calling was exceptional, and it kept Orlando's defense off on their heels the entire game. So this is an offense that I think is good to put chuck the ball around and put up points, even against Arlington's defense. And you did mention they were good last week against Vegas. They do have a good defense, but I think Houston's going to be a whole bit much bigger handful for Arlington's defense than Vegas was last week. But on the flip side, I think Arlington's offense, look, it underwhelmed last week. I was surprised Drew Plitt was the quarterback, even though there were the rumblings that he outplayed Sloter in camp. It stagnated. A lot of their points were created by the defense, but I've got to believe him getting a game under his belt and the offense, you know, Long and Hayes, the offensive coordinators for Arlington, they've been around a long time. I expected more from them. They didn't exactly bring it. I think they will here, because Orlando's offense, to me, their offensive line got overwhelmed by Houston. That's not going to happen, I think, against Arlington. Arlington's O-line was supposed to be really good coming in. So I think it's going to be tougher for Houston's pass rush. And we know Phillips likes to rush the quarterback. It's going to be a lot tougher for them to get that pass rush here against Arlington than, say, it was last week against Orlando. So I think both offenses are going to have success, and I'd play it over the total. I think from a side perspective, Morenci, as much as I was impressed with Houston, you're talking about +4.5 with a team that everybody I talked to about the XFL before the season thought Arlington was the favorite coming into the season. And now here they are after one game getting +4.5 points. So, and to me, this is one of those leagues where if you're going to lay more than a field goal with somebody, especially if we're getting up to 4.5 now, you better have a good reason to do so. And I don't know if Arlington did enough damage to their rep last week to say, oh, they deserve to be +4.5 here. So if I'm going to bet the side, I'm taking the points here with the Arlington Renegades here.
Ian Cameron kicking it with us, a.k.a. Babano. All right, Babano, before we get you out of here, NHL hockey. It was a light night. There's been a kind of a quiet week this week in the National Hockey League, but it is starting to pick up. And tomorrow night, we've got a bunch of games on the board. The Minnesota Wild and the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Los Angeles Kings and the New Jersey Devils. That's going to be a fun hockey game. At the Prudential Center in Newark, the Devils, of course, got upset by the Canadiens the other night. -152 favorites over the Los Angeles Kings, the Oilers, and the Penguins. Penguins -113. Oilers -106 on the road. Of course, we keep telling you guys on a nightly basis, every couple of nights, one of the best bets. There's two best bets in the National Hockey League. The Winnipeg Jets to the under, and the Vancouver Canuck games going over the number. And the Canucks are on the ice tomorrow night against the St. Louis Blues. And they finally put a 7 up, Babano. The 6.5s are gone. The Vancouver Canucks are now 34-16.
It only took 2 months.
Yeah, it's disappointing. they're 34-16 to the over. The Vancouver Canucks. And I tell you what, the St. Louis Blues are actually right there at 33-17 to the over. And they did post a 7 for this hockey game. But what do you like in the NHL tomorrow?
So I'm tempted by Buffalo, believe it or not, because the one thing by both Buffalo in Tampa tomorrow night, they got him kind of embarrassed the way they started against Toronto. But the weird thing about the Sabres is when they've been a road underdog against an above-average hockey team, that's honestly when we've seen some of their best games this year. I mean, they've beaten – their resume of wins on the road as underdogs this year is actually impressive. They've won at Vegas. They've won at Colorado. They've won at Boston. They've won at Washington. They've beaten a lot of really good teams on the road. It seems to get the best out of them. So I'm not saying for sure Tampa's going to lose because they've been good at home all year, but that game could be scarier for Tampa than you think with Buffalo, especially them coming off a really subpar performance against the Leafs, and the team just collectively was not happy about it. So be careful there. I think the Sabres could be live in that game. L.A., New Jersey, I think L.A. coming off a disappointing loss. So is New Jersey against Montreal. So I think both teams bring it, but I think getting +130 there with L.A. might be worth a look. I mean, they're still a really good team getting a nice price in that game. Rangers-Detroit, Morenci, the Rangers are an over team right now. I mean, their offense has really picked up since they got Tarasenko. They've trended over the total. Detroit's scoring goals right now. They just beat Washington in their last game, despite Dylan Larkin getting ejected for a game misconduct for a hit in the open ice on Oshie. Detroit's coming home off a long road trip. So that's not a great spot for Detroit, but man, they're playing good hockey. And I know it's definitely going to be an advantage for the Rangers catching a team off a road trip, but I don't know if I want to lay minus 160 against Detroit in that game with the way the Wings are playing. So I'm just going to stick to the total there and look over with the Rangers. You mentioned Vancouver. I mean, I think if you're going to either play over seven, or what you do, and Alex B. Smith, my colleague on the Ice Guys, is a big proponent of this. If you don't like betting an over seven, but you still like the game over, don't bet it pregame. Wait 5 minutes. Wait 7 minutes into the game. You're going to get a 6.5. You're going to get a better number. If you can just get a scoreless start to the game for a few minutes, you're going to get a better total in game. So that's not a bad suggestion if you want to bet over in that game, but certainly I'd still look over or pass. I'd probably bet Vancouver, honestly, Morenci, as well. St. Louis is a dead nuts bet against team for me. Since they traded Tarasenko, since they traded O'Reilly, the writing's on the wall. They're blowing this team up. Even the veterans, it looks, I don't want to say they've mentally checked out, but this has been a very lackluster effort. And when St. Louis falls behind in the game now, the last few that they've lost, there's no pushback. You don't see them have that big thrust to try to get back into the game. They know that this team's season's done. They're going to be selling off even more pieces, Barbashev, among others, by next week. So I'm not laying a price. I know Vancouver's had a brutal season, but I'm not laying a price with St. Louis. I don't think it's the worst thing you can do to look at Vancouver there, plus 105.
Yeah, these are teams kind of going in different directions in that Vancouver has begun the rebuild. And there's some enthusiasm in their locker room. And then conversely, the St. Louis Blues have begun the deconstruction. Thing is, the expectations are a lot higher for the Blues, right? So then they are.
St. Louis
Blues
doesn't battle back. Vancouver did against Nashville. Look at how Vancouver battled back against Nashville. They didn't quit in that game.
You can get 6.5 over minus 160. Ian Cameron, A.K. Babano. Thanks for the time, Babano.
Always good, Gabe. Talk to you later.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it. You say you will, but you won't.
You think you will. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 3 minute warning. Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Week 2 of the XFL. Thanks to Ian Cameron for joining us and breaking it down. I gotta tell you, a lot of people say, you know what, oh, it's hard to bet on new leagues, and especially in week 1. It's actually, I personally think it's gonna get harder with each and every passing week. And it's the same thing, like in the National Football League, actually. There's always going to be an overreaction after week 1, right? Just because a team got blown out in week 1 doesn't mean they suck. And just because a team wins in week 1 doesn't mean that they're going to be great. And, you know, it seems like this, you know, everybody's sort of already made the decision after week 1. And it's difficult, right? It's like, all right, can they, you know, these teams going to do it again? And my belief is, I kind of think that, and I've seen this before in these leagues, there's only going to be a couple of teams that are going to win every week. So there's probably going to be a lot of the teams that won last week are going to lose this week, and the teams that lost last week are going to win this week. And people are going to be like, oh, well, they lost last week, so they're going to, means they're going to lose this week. And anybody that knows anything knows every week is different. Every matchup is different. Every game is different. The Sunday nighter is the really intriguing one, because the Houston Roughnecks are good, but so are the Arlington Renegades. And I think, you know, they're just, you know, the two best. I think they are the two best teams in the league as far as being just complete. And I'll tell you what, as good as Houston looked in week 1, I don't think they should be 4.5-point favorites in this game. The Renegades were favored to win the championship before the season started, graded by the odds makers who watch these teams, to grade these teams. To suddenly have them getting 4.5 points in week 2 is somewhat an overreaction.